you, Robin and John. Thank you. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1 with me now. 1 Corinthians 1. I told you Sunday, I believe, that what Spurgeon said, it was actually Whitfield, George Whitfield, a man greatly used by the Lord to preach the gospel in this country, bring about a great awakening in this country. He said that verse 30 is the most comprehensive verse in all of God's Word. That's saying a lot. Most comprehensive. There's more to be comprehended of the truth in this one verse than any other. Spurgeon agreed with it. So we need not man's approval, or we don't need to drop names, but we esteem those men highly. And I concur, this is the faith of God's elect in this verse. This is the faith, Scripture says, delivered to the saints. Read it with me, verses 29 through 31. No flesh should glory in His presence, but of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written in Jeremiah 9, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, who is he writing to? Well, verse 2, back there in verse 2, it says to the church of God, in Christ, sanctified, set apart, put in Christ, called saints, and who call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you, peace. And of God are you, the church, the called, the sanctified, in Jesus Christ, who of God is made all these things for us. All of these things. Now, we're salvation's of the Lord. We're weak. We're helpless. We can do nothing. We're totally dependent for everything. And God says, for our comfort here and our joy, that Jesus Christ is all we need. We need all these things, these four things. Now, since he says these four things, what we need, wisdom, it means we're ignorant. By nature, we're ignorant. We don't know God. We don't know ourselves. We don't know the truth. Man, the natural man, just does not know or receive the things of God. They're foolish to do. Righteousness. We're guilty. We're guilty. We need a righteousness. Sanctification. That's holiness. It's to be set apart. We're polluted. And redemption. We're fit for the burning. We have no redeemable qualities. We should be destroyed, all of us, by nature. Unfit, unworthy. But in Christ, redeemed. Alright? Let's look at this. So, this is for those that are in Christ. Let's examine ourselves, see if we're in Christ. See if you need for Christ to be all these things for you. But verse 29, no flesh should glory in His presence. Every true worshiper of God who knows something of who God is, holy God, righteous God, just God, who by no means clear the guilty, who will punish sin, and knows something about themselves, knows that we have no room for any boasting, for any glory whatsoever. All of God's people. Our Lord said in John 6:45, they'll all be taught of God. All of God's true people know these things. There are no exceptions. There are no exceptions to this. All of God's people know these things. They've been taught. Even though you may not be able to articulate or explain or declare these things, somebody asked you, tell us what wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption mean. You might not be able to clearly define that. You might not be able to clearly articulate that. And you might stumble all over. But when a man like me or whoever stands up and begins to declare these things, if God help him, you'll say, that's right. That's what I believe right there. God's people don't take glory, don't take credit for anything. Not repentance, not faith, not works, nothing. No flesh should glory. People do. People glory. This is what flesh does. All of God's people say with Paul in Romans 7, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Is that right? There are no exceptions. All of God's people know that. That which is flesh is what? Flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's what our Lord said. All of God's people know that. No flesh should glory in His presence. And I tell you what, they don't. In His presence, nobody is glorying save in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how this starts. No flesh should glory in His presence, because if you get in His presence, if you get into glory, if you get to heaven, it's because of God. Are you there? It's of God. 100% of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. Verse 30. Of God are you in Christ Jesus. Salvation means to be in Christ Jesus. Paul said that, didn't he? Philippians 3. Oh, that I may be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. In Christ. But of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God, of God, of God. Salvation's of God. It's of the Lord. It's complete. All things, Scripture says, are of God. Mercy, grace, righteousness, sanctification, salvation is of God. There's nothing of man in it. There's no contribution by man in it. It's of God. Do you know that? All of God's people know that. Like creation, salvation is God's work. It's God's work. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is the author of it. God the Son is the Redeemer of it. God the Holy Spirit is the applier of it. Salvation's of the Lord. Of God are you in Christ Jesus. Like Noah and his family were found in that ark. Christ is that ark. Christ is as Noah's ark. Noah's name even means rest. If you are in Christ in that day when the overflowing scourge of God's wrath, when fire falls, if you are in Christ, you didn't put yourself there. It's because God put you there. Like Noah. Ask Noah. How'd you get in that ark, Noah? God said, come. God told me to come. All of God. What is it? This is election. There you go again, preacher. That's right. That's exactly right. That's where salvation started. If this doesn't bring a smile to your face, I've got to wonder about your own election. It's God's people glory that God would choose anybody, let alone them. You ask Abraham. Abraham, how'd you learn about God? Did you study Him? No, yes, I was 75 years old. I was an idolater. Steeped in my religion, I didn't know God, but God, for His great mercy and love toward me, revealed Himself to me. Why did you leave your father? Why did you leave idolatry? Why did you start believing the true God and leave your idols? Because God said, come out. That's Abraham's testimony. Noah, how'd you get in that ark? God said, God taught me. God brought me. Jacob, did you love God first? Or did He love you? Oh, Jacob would say, are you kidding me? Simon Peter, how'd you get to be one of the Lord's disciples? He said, I was fishing. Fishing was my life. My whole life was fishing. My boat was my life. Boats,
nets. But the Lord Jesus Christ one day, I didn't have a clue who he was, came by one day and called me by his grace. Irresistibly, powerfully called me. And I followed him. I'm here today because when Peter wrote his first letter, the first thing out of his mouth was, the first thing out of his off his pen was, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. And then kept by the power of God. Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul, the apostle. Saul of Tarsus. Saul, did you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? It's laughable, isn't it? He hated Jesus. He hated him. But God loved him. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for him. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to him one day and said, Saul, Saul, get in the dust. I've chosen you. You're mine. In Christ. Of God are you in Christ. Of God. Now you can get in religion. Just make your choice. Make your decision. You can get in a church. Just find you one. Choose the church of your choice. But you can't get in Christ but one way. Of God. Of God. Pick your place. Join up. Make your decision. Make your choice. Exercise your free will. And you can get in religion. But it's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. And of God are you in Christ Jesus. We could spend another 100 years on those first words. Of God. It's all of God. To be in Christ also is for Christ to be in you. And there's a verse of Scripture that talks about a bottle in smoke and smoke in a bottle. That's a good illustration of it. Christ in you, you in Christ. You're in His, if you're in Christ, you're in His heart, in His mind, in His thoughts, in His affection. You're His life. Says He ever lives to make intercession. That's what He lives for. Think about that. And there's just no exceptions to this. If Christ, if you're in Christ, Christ is in you, and He is your life. He's in your heart. He's in your mind. He is your life. He's not a part of it. If Christ is in you, it's not part-time. It's not occasional. It's constant. Constant. It's a vital, living, real union with a person. It's like marriage. Somebody can be married, a husband and wife can be married and maybe not even mention each other. Well, they're just married on paper. They're not united. But those who are truly wedded and married, you can't go a day without thinking about your beloved, can you? Even when they're gone, honey, you still think about it. That's marriage. And that's what Christ and His church is called. A marriage. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. You don't have to tell people to love Christ. You don't have to beg people to come to worship Christ. It's their life. He's their life. All right. Let's look at these four things. Of God are you in Christ. Who? Not what? It's not if you learn these doctrines, then you're... Oh, no. We're talking about a person here. Who of God is made unto us? Made, not offered. Doesn't say He's offered this unto you if you'll accept it. Oh, no. Said He's made. If you ever make something? Sure you have. You made it. What does that mean? That means it is. You made it. There it is. God says this is the way it is. As He is, so are you. So are we. Of God, are you in Christ, who of God is made unto you, not offered, not proposed to you. I propose this to you. No. Aren't you glad? Made unto us. Made to be. Created. Declared. This is the way it is. Wisdom. This tells us that we're ignorant, doesn't it? Christ is our wisdom. He is our wisdom. Now, here's what worldly wisdom says. And then we looked at the first part of this chapter that says, "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And we talked about what the world calls, thinks is the truth, and what they think is wisdom and so forth. But how foolish. You know, only a fool says no God. Only a fool says all of this just happened. But here's what worldly wisdom is. Here's worldly philosophy. This is what they think, okay? Just a few things. Worldly wisdom is this. There's only one life to live. You need to get everything you can get. You need to get everything you can accumulate before you die. Used to have this saying that he that dies with the most toys wins. People actually believe that. I mean, they actually believe that. This is it. It's all there is. That's the world. That's the wisdom of the world. Isn't it? Get all you can get while you can. How foolish. The Lord says, "You fool," says, "it's appointed unto man once to die." And here's wisdom. After that. And our life's a vapor. It's go by like that, doesn't it? Man's an absolute fool. He doesn't see how quickly this life is going. Then what? Moses said, "Oh, that they were wise and would consider their latter end." That is, all of this. There have been trillions of human beings on this planet that are gone. Just like us. What does it matter? What they had, what they did. Here's wisdom of the world. Accomplishments. Leave your legacy. Leave your mark. Do something good. Do something memorable. Oh, really? That doesn't amount to nothing. And I've used poor grammar on purpose for emphasis. The only thing that matters is if you're in Christ. Told you about the Titanic, didn't it? Titanic is represents this world. And everybody, they were, who's who of people were on board that Titanic? The builder of that ship. There were bankers and lawyers and politicians and the who's who. And then there were galley cooks and servants and all of that. When it was all over, they put a list on the board and two headings. And it didn't tell what anybody had accomplished, what anybody knew, what anybody had attained, what anybody owned. One of two things. Saved, lost. That's it. That's worldly wisdom is. Make your mark on this world. That's foolishness. That's utter foolishness. The place, Psalm 103 says, you're going to live here and it's going to be 6 months after you're gone. The world's not even know you existed. Who was the 12th president of the United States? Somebody. Anybody. Quick. Who was last year's vice president? You don't even know who he is now. Prove your point. Highest office in the land. Doesn't matter. What matters? Are you in Christ? Wisdom. See, He has made unto us wisdom. The world doesn't care about Jesus Christ. The world doesn't get to study Jesus Christ. The world doesn't seek Christ. The Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that didn't understand. Psalm 14. Any that did understand. Any that did seek God. He said, there's none. There's none. And you didn't either. And I didn't either. And I can't preach without saying this. But God, one day said, you're a fool, and I'm going to teach you wisdom. I'm going to show you my son. You see that ball in the sky? That represents my son. You can't even see it. That's why I put it there. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. What? Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, reigns. You can't even see Him. You've never given Him a thought. You're going to now. Of God is He made unto you wisdom. You finally come to your senses by the grace of God and see that I've been a fool, didn't know God, didn't know Christ, didn't know myself. And God reveals Christ to you. Oh my, the world says, here's wisdom, the wisdom of the intellect, you know. Get all the knowledge you can attain to it. Of all subjects, science, astronomy, medicine, psychology, physiology, technology. This is wisdom. Because it's going to save the planet. Oh, man. How foolish can you get? I'll tell you the meaning of life. I'm going to tell you the meaning of life right now in one word. You want to be wise? You want to know the meaning of life? I'm going to tell it to you in one word. It was found in John chapter 1. Christ. In Him is life. In Him we live and move and have our being. Oh, may God be pleased to show us. Christ is life. And only if God reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ, will we be wise? He's made unto us. He who knows Christ knows the end from the beginning. I can tell you the end from the beginning, people. I know Greek perfectly. I do. I know Greek. I know Alpha and I know Omega. I'm not being smart, Alec. Please don't despise me for this. But this is what Jesus Christ said. He said, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm the Alpha and Omega and I'm everything in between. I'm all you need to know. This is what Scripture said. I am all you need to know. He has made unto us wisdom. You need to know Him. And you can't know Him unless He reveals Himself to you. Christ is the wisdom of God. Oh, Proverbs. Just read Proverbs. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 8. Just read Proverbs. All through that. Do people, wise people of this world, bother to look at Proverbs? 800 and some odd Proverbs. Does anybody bother to look at one of them? Nah. Solomon wrote 3,000 songs, 1,500 Proverbs. Does anybody bother to look at one of them? No. There's infinite wisdom found in one line in it. You have. The reason you bother to is because the Lord chose you. And show you true wisdom. The wisdom of this world is foolishness. And our Lord says in Proverbs, He said, He that understands me understands it all. Understands it all. He's made unto us wisdom. And you know something? Christ is our wisdom before God. And Isaiah 53:3, it says, by His knowledge we're justified. Next thing, He has made unto us righteousness. Righteousness. Go over to Romans 10 with me. Romans 10. I'm determined to make this short, but I got stuck right there. Romans 10, righteousness. Oh my, this is a sad fact, people, but most religious people, no irreligious people, but most religious people can't tell you what righteousness is. Most religious people don't know and don't care. And if you ask them what righteousness is, they will tell you it's living right. And that's what Paul is writing about here. It's like the Jews who go about to establish their own righteousness. They're ignorant of what God requires. Look at Romans 10, verse 1 through 4. Brethren, now Paul used to be a Pharisee, remember? Thought he knew the law, but oh my. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Not get saved. Be saved. By God. I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. Zealous, but not according to knowledge. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness. That's God's essential, His person, and also the righteousness He demands for us to get into heaven. And they're going about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. There's the word three times in one verse. You know it's in the Bible more than 500 times. Must be important, isn't it? Verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. There's just not enough time to deal with this. But so many in here, you know what this means. And I'll try to put it, well, let's look at this. Genesis 3, real quickly. Genesis 3. I had this written down. I knew you'd be blessed by it. And let's look at it. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. It all started in the garden. Everything this world is and man and who God is and who Christ is and what salvation is started in the garden. The first three chapters. Chapter 4 explains all of religion. Two religions, two men. Well, chapter 3, serpent was subtle. This is Satan. Said to the woman, "Hath God said?" He put a question mark on God's word. That's what he does. And that's what false religion does. Verse 2. The woman said, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it." She added something there. God didn't say that. In verse 4, the serpent said, "You won't die." He flat out lied to her. He flat out said, "God, it's not right. What God says is not true." Here's what he said. "God doth know," verse 5, "in the day you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil." You have free will, exercise it. You can be as gods. Isn't that what he convinced human beings of today? You're little gods. You're in charge of your own destiny. "The woman saw the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, desired to make one wise." That's lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. She took the fruit and they died. Look at it. Verse 7. "The eyes were open and they knew they were naked." Naked? Exposed. Guilty. As charged. Now look how ignorant they had become. "They heard the voice of the Lord God." This is Christ. The Word, walking in the garden in the cool of day, and Adam and his Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. You can't hide from God. How ignorant has this brilliant man become? All of Adam's posterity to this day thinks he's hiding from God. He can't, that God, how doth he know this? How does he say, "Darkness is covering my evil deeds"? Oh no, darkness and light are both alike to the Lord. And he hid. Says they sewed together, look at this, fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. Fig leaves. Cover our nakedness before God. One tree God cursed. One tree Jesus Christ cursed. What was it? A fig tree. To show us that if you try to sew together, do anything to cover your sin, it won't cover. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth them." Adam and Eve hid. And now look at this. This is the gospel right here. Verse 9, "The Lord God called." He called him. He loved Adam. He loved Eve. They're dead now. They're dead in trespasses and sin, aren't they? But he called them. "By his grace, where art thou?" Oh my, called them. Verse, look down at verse 15. "And the Lord said, preach the gospel to them." He said, here it is in verse 15. "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, thy seed and her seed," the woman's seed.
And it shall bruise thy head. That is, the woman's seed will crush the serpent's head, Satan's power, but you'll bruise his heel. That's Christ and him crucified, what that is. That's exactly. And the Lord preached the gospel right there. Adam, he called as Adam by the gospel. And Adam and Eve heard that. But oh, hold on, that's not it. That's not all. Look down at verse 21. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin. He made coats of skin and clothed them. Covered them. They're standing there naked. First thing it is, well, take away those fig leaves. And they're shivering and naked and cold and guilty and unrighteous before God. They've broken God's law. They've sinned against God. But God killed an innocent animal. I believe it was a lamb. I'm quite sure it was. And took that lamb's skin, shed that blood first thing to pay for their sins. That animal died for the guilty. That's Christ crucified. And he took the skin of that lamb and didn't offer it to him. He didn't say, would you like to have this? He made that skin and put it around them. That's righteousness. That's the robe of righteousness. The dress code of heaven. The garment, the robe of saints in heaven is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do you know why Jesus Christ was stripped on that cross? That wasn't necessarily the custom of being crucified, but the scriptures is very clear to let us know that they stripped him naked. Why? We're wearing his robe. So that we won't be found naked. What's the first thing that the returning prodigal, that the father did for the returning prodigal, the guilty son? What's the first thing the father said? Bring the best robe. Not offer it to him. Put it on him. Of God are you in Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Do you see? You need a righteousness to get the glory in. You need a righteousness to get to heaven. You can't produce one. You can't do it, no matter not the righteousness of the law. By the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. There's only one way. Christ, His righteousness. He's the end of the law for righteousness. You just believe and trust Christ, you're righteous. Isn't that good news? I can't preach this in any way, other way, but excited? I tell you, people in glory, everybody in glory right now, singing at the top of their lungs unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins. Unto Him, unto Him, unto Him. Of God are you in Christ. Who of God is made unto us. All these things. Sanctification. Sanctification. That means set apart. For God's use. That's what that means. Holiness means to be set apart by God, unto God, for God. It means to be consecrated to God. You can't sanctify yourself. You can't do anything to set yourself apart. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're just flesh. I was going to have you turn to Hebrews 10, but I don't have time. But, you know, man thinks there's certain things that make us holy, set us apart, certain dress, certain ceremonies, certain sacrifices. And that changes with generations. It changes with cultures, doesn't it? It changes. But God's sanctification doesn't change. Who maketh thee to differ? Who sets us apart? Not what? He's made unto us sanctification. Our Lord said in His prayer to the Father in John 17, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified. By one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. For He that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all of one. Of God who's made unto you sanctification. You know what sets you apart, John? Here's what it is. In glory. Going to be sheep, going to be goats.
going to be sheep, going to be goats. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Enter, you blessed of my Father. Get out of here, you goats. Who are they? What have they done? Nothing. Of God. Say, but preacher, that what? It excludes all boasting. None of them deserve to be there. None of them. And the ones that are getting there are praising Him to high heaven for choosing them and putting them in Christ. For calling them. They're all black sheep. He went and found them all. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Of God. He's made unto us sanctification. In Exodus chapter 11. Look at it for yourself sometime. Verse 7, it says, the Lord, He says, you're going to know. Exodus 11, 7, He said, you're going to know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Jew, the Israelite, and the Egyptians. You know who made the difference? The Lord made the difference. Of God. You know, all the old preachers, you'd say, if you preach the truth clear enough, justification clear enough, salvation of the Lord clear enough, somebody's going to accuse you of everything. So be it. But if you just look to Christ, you'll be saved. Don't look to yourself. Sanctification. It's imparted it's imputed and it's imparted. Yes, it is. A new man, new creature, but you didn't have anything to do with it. We're His creation, His workmanship. No flesh should glory. And the last thing is redemption. And I want you to turn to Romans 8 with me. Romans 8. He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You and I aren't worth redeeming. There's not a human being worth redeeming. We don't have any redeeming quality. I've already quoted John 14 to you. In Romans 1, Romans 3, doesn't it? Paul says a Jew, a Gentile, doesn't matter who it is, we better than they. He says that before proved, they're all under sin. There's none righteous. No, there's none. And he spent a whole book, John, didn't he, talking about how that God's people are justified by Jesus Christ and Him alone. By His righteousness. Spent a whole book talking about that. Redemption. Redemption means to pay for it, to buy something. And buddy, whoever Jesus Christ paid for, He's going to have them. Whoever Jesus Christ died for, they're saved. They're saved. The blood of Jesus Christ wasn't shed in vain. Oh no, it wasn't even offered. It was applied by the Spirit of God to the souls of all of His elect. And they're redeemed by His blood. They are redeemed among men, from among men. And they are ransomed from the power of the captor. But this redemption is going to be only a final thing when He redeems, when He brings our body, soul and spirit together. Look at Romans 8, verse 22. Now we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan within ourselves. Do you groan? If you're of God in Christ, a sinner saved by grace, He's revealed Himself to you and yourself to you. You groan over sin, don't you? And you're waiting on the Lord, and waiting on, look at it, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Paul said, oh, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He says, He shall change our vile bodies. And redeem us from the power of the grave, from the power of sin. He's going to get what He paid for. Redemption. That according as it is written in our text. According as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Because of God, if you're in Christ, God put you there. Who's made unto you everything you need. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All glory be to the Son of God for His great salvation. Is that what you can say? Is that what you say? If you're in Christ, you do. That's your whole, all of your salvation right there in Him. Okay, stand with them. Our Lord, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, God in heaven. Thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, for revealing Him to Your people and in Your people, for calling them by Your grace, by Your gospel, by Your word, by Your truth. This is the truth as it is in Jesus, in the Lord Jesus. Oh, how we thank You that You revealed Him in us. Oh, Lord, we're like Paul, Your people. All those in Christ, like Paul, say, oh, that I might win Christ and be found in Him. Oh, that I might know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, be found in Him on that great day. Oh, Lord, put us in Christ. Put more people in Christ, we pray. Use this message, we pray, for Your glory. To You be the glory and honor and praise, wisdom, power, all things. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.